Australia. How are you going? How are you going? I hope you're doing all right. It is NBA Australia, and this is Thursday, April 25. That's right, it's Anzac Day, but your mate Jim is still working, just going hard. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm the editor of a very good, show? AFL Today Show. That's a good one. The official AFL Supercoach Show as well, Fox Sports Lab NBA. I'm here just doing an audio show today because we're about to start our AFL Today live stream for the Anzac Day clash between the Pogues and the Bombers. But the cool thing is we had two awesome games today. Absolutely gnarly playoff games. Joey Muzz, he's about to sit everybody down on that Celtics team and fight them and then make them all watch The Town eight times this next, 2 days. Naz Reid won Sixth Man of the Year. Okay, see, smash the Pelicans. We'll talk about all that in the game wraps. We've got That's Not an iPhone, Mate No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. There's Naz. There's the Unpopular Opinion Today. And there's our back take. Yes, we were serving up a flame grill take. There's also an Andrew Gaze Groom on reward for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence and a pick and preview for the games tomorrow. We've got a nice slate tomorrow as well. Tell you what, it's pretty fun. It's pretty good. And that'll do us because I've got to do this one really quick and then jump out and jump on the live stream. You know, talk all things footy. So without further ado, let's get into it. Episode 1,080, I want to say three, of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
All right, you better watch out for the Shaq attack, or at least you better watch out for the, they're raining threes. It's raining threes. Hallelujah, it's raining threes. Ah, that's right, Miami absolutely smasherated Boston today by raining threes on their head. But let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with a daily whoosh. It's a whip around. Oh, geez, Jim, it sounded like you did that whip crack sound. It was. Because I'm A, multi-talented. B, doing this without like a soundboard or anything, it's going to be in post. And I figured I'd just do that one. So that'd be fun. Anyway, let's start with the news. Naz Reid, he was my pick for Sixth Man of the Year and he actually bloody won the thing. How fun was that? So he actually just gets past Malik Monk as our man Naz Reid, the big man from the Minnesota T-Wolves, by a very, very small margin, which is awesome fun. I love it when you've got like a really, really close race for the awards because you're like, oh, wow, who voted this way for that one and who threw their vote away otherwise? And that's what's happened a couple of times, I reckon. But A, love Naz Reid. B, sucked in Malik Monk. Very fun stuff. And totally, like, just look, it's a, people have gotten sort of bent out of shapes. Oh, he started 17 games. It's like, yeah, that's the most amount of games a Sixth Man of the Year has started. But also yesterday we had Tyrese Maxey become the first dude to win Most Improved Player after already averaging 20 points the year before. So I think we're just in a bit of a screwy year. What do you reckon? Yeah, I reckon that's about right. But the cool thing is, like, I mean, you can make the case for both. Malik Monk in 26 minutes averaged 15.1 points, 5.1 assists, shot 44% from the field and 35% from three. Naz Reid in 23 minutes a game, averaged 12.6 points, 5 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.8 blocks, shot 48% from the field and 41% from downtown. It's a good case. I love it. Let's go. I'm all about the Naz Reid. I think the defensive aspect that he sort of gives the Wolves, Malik Monk is like the classic Sixth Man of the Year winner, right? Bench gunner, comes in, causes havoc. He was really, really good this year. But at the same time, I can't like get too upset about Malik Monk missing out or playing, you know, actually starting 17 games because, you know, they missed Cat and he filled in at times. But just the overall vibe of the thing, Naz Reid was fantastic. He did heaps and heaps of fun stuff coming in off the bench. He kept that Minnesota Timberwolves team just humming along. And otherwise, it's kind of like, yeah, sure, man. Like, it's a good award to win if you're a big man. And it doesn't happen very often. It's usually some guard who comes in and does a Jamal Crawford or a Lou Williams, and away we go. Because, like, the fact that Bobby Portis was right there as well, right? He had two first-place votes. Five first-place votes. Naz Reid had 45. Malik Monk had 43. The total points is like 352 for Naz, 342 for Malik Monk. So the difference quite literally is the two first place votes because they had the same amount of second place and the same amount of third place. Fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world, had 81 total points. He had 5 first place votes. Bogdan Bogdanovich from Atlanta had 4 first place votes. Which is interesting because A, Atlanta were crap and Bogdan wasn't that good this year. What are we doing? That was weird. Norm Powell had the 2 first place votes. I also like that someone probably screwed up their picking of Bogdan Bogdanovich and Bojan Bogdanovich because Bojan got 1 vote, 1 third place vote. You know, that's somebody who's just like, ah, whatever that fucking Eastern European bloke was, him. Yeah, him. That'll do. Anyway, good job, Nazarene. He's the first player to win it for the Wolves. He's also the third player to win it after not being drafted, which is even cooler. So great job. No Giannis? Question mark? Shams tweeted out that Giannis is at least able to do some stationary jump shooting. And I think Doc said that yesterday. But he's not cutting, not scrimmaging, not running fully yet. So Shams is basically like, yeah, the Bucks got to be prepared to keep on playing without Giannis. It's pretty good. And AD had a bit of a bitch and moan yesterday. God, if there's a theme for these goddamn playoffs so far, it might be that everyone's just having a sook. AD out there looking like Prince from Wish. It's like, Jesus, Michael Bourbon. It's like, is that a Brince? Okay, I bought this from Wish and it says Brince. Yeah, he's wearing funny, weird glasses. He's got a weird looking face. Anyway, Darvin Ham and AD going back and forth about the Lakers have stretches where we don't know what we're doing. I also like that Darvin Ham's like, nah, that's bullshit. We always know what we're doing. We have a plan. And AD's like, doesn't involve me, fuckheads. So you can actually sort of see where AD's coming from. At the same time, AD, fucking assert yourself. You're a big man. Grow up here. Anyway, that's it for the news for today. There wasn't much else sort of going on, apart from like, I don't know, Jordy Fernandez, the new Nets coach, is like, yep, we want to keep Nick Claxton. Everyone's like, oh, duh. And that's kind of about it. There was like Tyrese Halliburton, I forgot to mention this on yesterday, his brother copped a racial slur apparently in game one that came out. Maybe it was about his voice, who knows. Anyway, should we get into this? Let's do it. Let's do some game raps. Game raps, game raps, game raps, game raps, game raps, game raps. That's right, Miami beat Boston. What? 111-101 today. This was chaos. I picked Miami yesterday. I thought they covered the 14.5 point spread. Didn't think they'd win. Now, somebody has actually tweeted at me going, Jim, remember when you were like, ha-ha, we want Boston chants are basically the same as a Roo going, we want a Mack truck. Yeah, I was wrong. You know why I was wrong? Because Miami hit a franchise record 23 fucking threes. Like, what am I meant to do? What are Boston meant to do? I mean, Boston should be getting, I don't know, not playing any drop coverage and getting out on shooters. But Miami won this game because they started off super hot and stayed hot. And that's a pretty good recipe for success. Boston kind of did it in game one, BT dubs. But 23 threes from Miami is absolutely insane. They hit 8 threes in the first quarter. Jovic, Hero, Jaime Jaquez, all fired up. They were leading by one after one. Tatum had 14 points in that first quarter. C's got a hit in the second quarter. But the Heat, they're just like herpes producer Gerald. Like, you just can't shake them. Like, you just can't get rid of them. It's like you turn around, it's like, ah, it's still there. Ah! Anyway, Martin hit another three. He back up by one, like, in that second quarter. And Jovic is causing havoc. We went this incredible, like, second quarter stretch where Jaylen Brown hit 3 straight threes, scored 11 straight points. And Hero and Caleb Martin, a.k.a. the bloke who's Michael Jordan mixed with Scottie Pippen mixed with Farlap, absolutely kicked their ass. They went 13-24 from downtown in that first half. Brown had 21, Tatum had 18. Boston led by 3. And you're thinking, all right, Boston sort of, you know, they'll take control in the third quarter. Nope. Jovic opened the third with a 3, and it did not stop. It was tied 67-67. Then the Heat ripped off a 13-3 run to grab this game by the scruff of the neck and never let go. Like, it was crazy. There was like a bit of a moment towards the end of the third quarter where I think they were up 12, right? They get up 12. And at this point, they'd only taken 48 shots, and they were 18 of 31 from downtown. That is just stupid. But then a 7-0 run by the Celtics to sort of answer, they pull it back to 5. And the closest they got again after that was probably, I think, about 5 in the fourth quarter. They never pulled it back within actual pissing distance. Like, Derek White went sick in that fourth quarter. And then Bam just went, that's kind of neat. Check this out. I'm going to keep scoring on the extreme zinger meal. And they fucked them up. Boston tried to get on a run. Bam was matching absolutely everything inside because Kristaps Porzingis is playing, I don't know, defense that I'd basically play going, nah, I can't be fucked. I mean, I could contest that shot, but I don't know, man. I can't be fucked. So they kept hitting threes in Miami, and it just demoralized the Celtics time and time again. Because, like, with 4 minutes to go or whatever, Derek White hit another three. They were back sort of within six after a Tatum, a couple of free throws, right? It's like 3 and a bit minutes left. And you're like, Boston can steal this. And then Caleb Martin hit a three. And it's like, aha, the ghost of Caleb Martin's passed. It's just going to keep fucking haunting Boston. You love to see it. It was hilarious. And they sort of just rode it out. Sucked in, Celtics. Jeez. Tatum ends up with 28, only scored 4 points in the fourth quarter. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Jaylen Brown had 33 and 8. He was fantastic. And then tried to do a little bit too much and kept coughing it up. Because, I don't know, he's still Jaylen Brown. I think the really tough part was, like, yeah, you get Jrue Holiday and you're like, all right, Jrue, you can keep us steady in this sort of game. And he's like, hey, guys, check me going 4 of 12 for his 9 points. Couple of turnovers, 1 of 4 from downtown, 2 steals and a block. And Derek White didn't do anything. I think he scored 10 points in the fourth quarter, kept them within pissing distance, but could never get right over the top. 6 for each for Horford and Hauser off the bench. Like, this was so, like, evenly matched across the board, like 39 rebounds to 40, 12 turnovers each as well. But Miami hit a million threes. 23, 43 from downtown. Yep, that's fucking chaos. Bam has 21 and 10. There goes my hero, Tyler Hero, at 6 of 11, 21 for Caleb Martin. Just when you thought he was dead, he just rises up and just goes, boys, I'm back. And everyone in Boston's like, fucking hell. Jaime Ocas had 14. He went 3-6 on threes. Jovic was fantastic. He had 11-9-6 with 3 steals and a block. He came from nowhere and was fantastic. Highsmith had 3 of 5 off the bench from downtown for his 9 points. Duncan hit a couple of threes. Delon Wright was handy. Miami win it by 10. Looking tough without Jimmy Butler. They steal one. Jimmy Butler trolls them after going, don't let us get one. And I look like an idiot having picked Boston to sweep them. But I did at least pick Miami to cover the spread in this game. And they won the game! And then the second game today. New Orleans got absolutely steamrolled by the Oklahoma City Thunder. 124-92. Spindles Ingram. Oh boy. That guy was in struggle town. My name is Jonas Valanciunas. It was like, my name is Jonas. So I'm carrying the Pels. Straight out of illiness. This is how it smells. It's like goulash. Anyway, 19 and 7 for Jonas. He had their first 11 points. And then it's weird how they use him, right? It's like, well, he's dominating the piss out of Chet Holmgren. It's like, but Chet Holmgren's also kicking the fuck out of him in return. So he only played 23 minutes. They went smaller times. And Larry Nance is very, very fun. But he also had 2 points and 3 turnovers. So tough one. But basically, this one was won in that sort of, they got up really, really quick after the sort of slow start, did the Thunder. We're up 13 after the first quarter once they sort of started, like Chet hit a couple of threes and they're off and rolling, right? And then SGA saw, well, he had 7 points in the first quarter, 7 points in the second quarter, and was like actually looking for 3-pointers. And you're like, if SGA's feeling it, you're fucked, mate. He had 33, hit 3 of 5 from downtown, you're cooked. CJ couldn't keep up. He went 1 of 5 from downtown, 6 of 14 overall, 15, 5 and 4. 18 for Herb Jones because he hit 4 threes. Trey Murphy only hit 2 of 6 from downtown for 8. And look, you need Trey Murphy to fire if you're going to have a crack in this one, and they didn't get that. Because Spindles Ingram stank. He was minus 30 in 33 minutes. He had 18 points. He shot 5 of 10. But just looks frustrated, looks out of rhythm. I think I love Jamal Crawford on these calls because he's like, yeah, he's out of rhythm and he's forcing it and it's fucking him up even more. And you're like, that's actually insightful. And Reggie's like, oh man, Kev, look at him go, Kev. And you're like, ah, this fucking guy. Whereas Jamal Crawford rules. Anyway, they went 7 of 26 from downtown to the Pelicans. 7 of 26. The Thunder went 14 of 29. I'm no math magician, but if you double up the other team on your made threes, you're probably going to win the game. 26 for Chet Holmgren with a couple of blocks, 7 rebounds. He was fantastic. You're like, yeah, he's not a rookie. He's been around in the NBA for 2 years now. He's only played this year. God, he was good. 21 for J-Dub. He had 7 assists as well. Just that he played such a measured game. He'd take these weird leaning back jumpers in the third quarter just to sort of keep solidifying, keep the scoreboard ticking over. And just demoralized the Pelicans even more. And then they just curb stomped him in the fourth quarter because, like, SGA just kept scoring. Dort was awesome. He hit 4 threes. He had 15 points. And Giddy up. It was sort of just orchestrating it all late too. He had 13, 6, and 3. Enjoyed that. Yet Isaiah Joe hit a couple of threes off the bench. He had 8. Aaron Wiggins flew through it. He had 6. Cason Wallace was handy. Other Jalen Williams was pretty handy too. But they shot 59% from the floor, did the Thunder. This crowd was psycho. It was awesome. It ruled. And they kicked the fuck out of him. Great job by the Thunder. And there you go. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Well, we're going to give this one to either Bam or SGA. Who do you reckon? SGA shot 13 of 19. He went 3 of 5 from downtown, 4 of 4 at the line, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 33 points. He was awesome. But Bam, as Boston were just like throwing fucking as many haymakers as they possibly could, Bam was so calm and collected. He's like, all right, just give me the ball. I'm just going to pop this shot right over the top of the zinger. Check this out. I don't care that he's a 7'2" fucking Latvian. Check this out. Boom. 21, 10 and 2 on your head. 9 of 13 shooting. He was awesome, a plus 20. And Tyler, there goes my hero. 24 points, 14 assists. What a legend. 6 of 11 from downtown. There goes my hero. I think we'll give him the performance of the night. Not bloody bad. Who is Spud of the night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
All right, Spud of the night. I'll tell you what, that's the extreme zinger meal. 1 of 9 from the floor for the Latvian gangbanger. The Latvian gangbanger. 6 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. He was a minus 32. A minus 32 in a game they lost by 10. That's incredible. He played 30 minutes and was a minus 32. Jesus. I'll tell you what, that's an easy win in the old Spud of the night stakes with the extreme zinger meal. Nobody shot the magic number. Jose Alvarado went 0 of 5 as well, as a bit of an honorable mention. But yeah, the zinger, he didn't cover himself in glory. And this is the thing, you're like, oh, geez, Boston's got a cheat code. They've got Kristaps Porzingis as well. It's like, oh, yeah, but remember all those really amazing big games that he's played in when he showed, oh, no, that's never happened. Yeah, yeah. Who's old mate? No mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? I'm going to give this one to a bit of Brandon Spindles Ingram. He got wanged in the dick, or it was in his midsection. It's like, I don't know. Looks like he got wanged in the penis. but still, Boston fans as well, like leaving the arena like down 8, like 40 seconds left. Like that was a bit of a, the Boston Celtics team. It's like it's every Celtics fan is waiting for that other foot to drop. And as soon as it did, you're like, geez. But also, I mean, just Caleb Martin, old mate, no mates in Boston. He just fucking kills him. But yeah, Kristaps Porzingis, the Tingus Pingus of a stat line. Very, very brutal gear as well. Old mate, no mates. Just look forward to the Celtics are weak and piss weak and Zingers pretty shit as well. Definitely old mate, no mates. What about the pantsing of the night?
Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
I think the pantsing of the night's got to go with Caleb Martin. So he hits 5 threes or whatever, and the Heat go up 9 with like 3 minutes left, and it's just such a pantsing of like the entire Boston Celtics. Like Joey Muzz, as I've said time and time again, he is going to fucking A, jujitsu the shit out of every single one of these dudes, fucking put them all in a chokehold and make them go to sleep. And then, once they wake back up, make them all watch The Town like 8 straight times. Boys, I fucking love yous, but you guys have completely fucked me today. I fucking hate it. I love you, Jason. Don't get me wrong, mate. I fucking love you, Jason, but we're all going to sit here. We're going to watch The Town 8 times. We're going to get all fucking back together, and then we're going to go down to Miami for Game 3, and we're going to fucking win, mate. That's what we're going to do, all right? Fucking listen to me, you Major Muzz, and we'll fuck them up. So that game's on Sunday. Game 3, which is going to be chaos, same as OKC in New Orleans, but jeez. What Miami did to Boston, just showing him out for this absolutely just paper thin, no heart, absolute put him to the blowtorch vibes, that's a pantsing. And finally, who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Well, better than Lonzo Ball. We might give that one to Chet. What an awesome stat line. He actually and J-Dub. 26 and 7 with a couple of blocks for Chet Holmgren. 9 of 13 shooting, 3 of 6 from downtown. You've got the zinger stinking it up in one game, and then the next one you've got the actual other unicorn, Chet Holmgren. And also there's a bloke named Wemby out there, but Chet in 29 minutes had 26 points. He was absolutely unreal. Jalen Williams, 10 of 17. He was like, it was amazing to sort of see SGA go, yeah, I can just give him the ball and he's going to score and we're going to be all right. He had 21, 5 and 7, made really good decisions, shot 1 of 3 from 3. 10 of 17 from the floor was just incredible, considering the, I don't know, the difficulty of some of his shots. So there you go. Good job, J-Dub. All right, let's keep flying through this while we go do some Yenars right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
You're
listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, time for some Yeah Nahs, brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch, nbaaustralia.com/shop, or just click there on the socials or the pretty pictures, get a hoodie, get a t-shirt, get a coffee mug. I've got one here in the studio. Get a stubby holder for all your tins. Right, let's do some Yeah Nahs. Jez all sent through a couple of good ones. I've got a Yeah Nah for you, Big Rig. Is the Giannis injury the only thing in the way of the Bucks sacking two coaches in one season? Yeah Nah. That is awesome. But I still kind of think they would want to, like, Doc, he's got everybody under his thumb so much that he would talk them into going, hey, you can't fire me. I'm going to have an off season. It's always excuses with Doc Rivers. Never forget that. It's never his fault. He's got to have an off season. And even when he has the off season, it'll be something about the roster. Don't worry about it. But that's a good spot by Jez Oz. It does feel like, I mean, if they'd replaced Adrian Griffin with like a, you know, interim head coach that was actually like an associate head coach or something, or an assistant beforehand, they probably would fire him, you know, after this series, just so. The other one, Jez, this is a good Outback Takehouse. The NBA made a last-minute change and awarded Maxey the most improved player over Kobe White to stop Philly whinging and whining over game two. Yeah, nah, Outback Takehouse. Yes, this is such a good conspiracy theory that they're like, oh, fuck. Adam Silver's like, oh no, we've completely cooked it with this goddamn refs in that New York Knickerbockers game. We better give the most improved player to Tyrese Maxey to soothe it all over. And away they went. I actually don't mind that a lot. And also, do Miami really have a shot at winning this series there, Jim? Yeah, nah, no. Look, I mean, to be honest, nah. But if they do this one or two more times, shoot a record amount, like a franchise record amount of threes and hit them, like, watch the fuck out. I don't know. But I feel like Boston, this should be a different Boston team. And this is the biggest problem with this Celtics team, right? Oh, they were different this year. Turns out it's the same old Celtics, right? But I think they are too deep and too good this year to really shit down their leg. Change my mind, Miami. Change my mind. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
All right, unpopular opinion of the day. Well, we're just basically using this to rank our most frustrating teams after two games. Boston have now shot right back up into this. They weren't frustrating after the game one. And now watching them again, you're like, oh, God. So I think Philly are number one. I'm going to say still Dallas number two, just because, God, they're frustrating. Orlando three. I want to say Phoenix four. Throw Boston in there as well, just because, wow, they are frustrating to watch. It is really, really strange and really, really, really wonky. I sort of did the Outback Takehouse already, so we'll just sort of fly through that. But I love that idea that most improved player was rigged by the NBA right at the end of it just to placate everybody. That's amazing. God, that's good. All right, let's take a quick break. Be back with Australian Player Watch. Oh, no, we do an Andrew Gaze Graham Mumble Award and stuff like that, but we do that after the Australian Player Watch, right after this.
This is Matthew Delvedover, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch for today. Very easy one because, look, Patty Mills did not get out there for the Miami Heaters, and they still won, which is pretty remarkable. So it did not play coach's decision. Good job, Spo. Dyson Daniels did get out there for 8 minutes against the Thunders. He played the 8 minutes, went 0 of 2 from the floor, 0 of 1 from downtown. One rebound, And that was it. 0 points. It was a minus six overall. Not bad in a game that they lost by 1 million to. 32 points. Bloody hell. But Josh Giddey, I mentioned that earlier. He shot 4 of 9, 1 of 3 from downtown, 4 of 4 at the line, which is very nice to see. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, a plus 28. Just a really good bounce back after a pretty non-memorable game prior to that. And you get that on the big jobs sometimes, don't you? Oh, yes. Yes, you do. All right. What about a Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence? It's the first man you won the Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba All right. Outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. Look, Chet Holmgren, there you go, became the first rookie with a 20-point first half in the playoffs in over a decade. That was sick. He started off like scoring 15 points without missing a shot. He was bloody good. But the thing was, he also became, I think, the first OKC rookie to have a 25-5 playoff game. That's not bloody bad considering they've had some pretty good rookies over the years. But at the same time, when they were rookies, those Thunder teams were shit. KD, Harden, Rusty. So I'll still pay that. 26-7, 9 of 13 shooting, 3 of 6 from downtown, a plus 32. Chet Holmgren, that was some bloody excellence, I'll tell you what. And SGA's 33. I love it. Every time he goes past 31, we should be like lighting a beam like we're fucking Sacramento or something. But very, very cool. All right. What about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? All right, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, a.k.a. Jim looks at his phone and sees what Patty is up to. There's nothing new. What is going on, Patty? Sort this out, mate. Sort this out. Nothing from today's game because they got fucking straight killed by the Celtics. I think Jock Landau did have a new one, though. There was it was a picture of the FIBA balls. Yes, that's right. He had the FIBA balls. And it's like, all right, we're going to fire these up. There we go. Time to break them out and get back to work at Boomers. Yes, mate. Love that. Let's go. Rock 'em, sock 'em, block 'em, jock 'em, Landau. The Rooster. Okay. Geez, we have flown through this show. How good is this? Let's do a quick NBA Australia game preview set for tomorrow.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Yeah, I'm a bit rushed today because I've got to do this show, do the AFL Today live stream for the, like, 3 fucking hours and then do the actual AFL Today show tonight. Yeah, because we're doing the bloody thing. So that'll be, like, you know, the usual Thursday night show. Chaos. Absolute chaos. But we do have 3 awesome games tomorrow because we have, well, we've got Cleveland-Orlando. And then we've got Knicks, Sixers, and Nuggets, Lakers. So, Cleveland, Orlando, prove me wrong, Magic. Prove me wrong. The Magic are 2.5-point favorites, which, look, I'm still going to fucking go down believing that this Magic team doesn't stink. They might be the team. Same, like, they. I think I've even tweeted this out. They are last year's Cleveland. I think I might have tweeted out that they were actually, what, last year's Sacramento. But that would have mean that would mean they go to 7. So, I don't know about that, bro. Don't know about that. It's a bit of a weird one, though. So Orlando, in terms of like their record against the line this year, they were one of the very best teams in all of the NBA, right? They were 51-31. I think they might have actually been the best team in the NBA against the line. And then once you get to like at home and stuff like that, it gets a little bit trickier. But 2.5-point favorites against Cleveland. If they're going to win a game, it does feel like this might be the, oh God, we aren't ready for this at all sort of series. But I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to go the Magic minus 2.5 to get a win tomorrow. Then we've got the Knicks at the Sixers. A fascinating setup. I'm going to take the Knicks plus 4.5. I think the Sixers win this, but I think it's going to be an awesomely close game. Embiid goes absolutely ham. Maxi goes ham. And I reckon the role players step up a little bit more for the Sixers. But the Knicks' defense is just so much fun and so chaotic that they're just going to stick with you and just make you earn this. So give me the Knicks plus 4.5 and the Sixers to win the game. And then Lakers-Nuggets. How much fun is this? Oh, God. After all the sooking, the Lakers are 0.5-point favorites at home. I think the Lakers break the duck. They've lost 10 straight. LeBron, this is the longest losing streak of LeBron's career against a single team. He's lost 9 straight against the Nuggets. They've lost 10 straight as a team. And I think the Lakers break that tomorrow with a half point. But they got the half point favoritism right there. I think they eke out a win at home and finally snap that. Just because the likes of D'Lo, Rui Hachimura and co. should be a little bit better at home. And there you go. That is it for today. Unbelievable. We can actually do an NBA Australia really quickly. It's really handy when there's two games and one of them's a blowout. And the other one basically hinges on like Miami hitting a record record amount of threes for the team. So either way, that's it for today. I hope you've had a good Anzac Day. I hope you've shown your respects and done all your good stuff. But either way, remember, you can get around the AFL Today Show. Go check us all out on the, live stream is obviously already happening. You probably might be listening to this while that's actually still going. So go check it out across all the socials for AFL Today. It's the Sports Today Show on Facey as well. You can check NBA Australia socials. I'll have tweeted all that out as well. But obviously get around NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, we're all over the socials. AFL Today Show, NFL Australia, Cricket Today Podcast, the soccer one, which is the Football Today Podcast as well. Check out all of those. Give us a rating and review on your Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on the Android phone. Go nuts, would ya? It really does help out heaps. Get around to nbaaustralia.com/shop and get your merch. And a big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Today, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash Samuel on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. And that's it. No skit today because I've got to jump into the live stream like basically right about now. So we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? Have a very, very, very solid, respectful Anzac Day. Smash a few tins, jump on the live stream with us, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Later, Hosanna!